It is near impossible to understand the gospel account of Jesus and the Syrophoenician woman without understanding what Peter stated in the above quotation with respect to the laws. Thus, it is written, "For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet." The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. But Jesus said to her, "Let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she answered and said to him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter." And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out, and her daughter lying on the bed. Mark 7:25-30 NKJ. Why did Jesus not immediately help her? Why did he portray the woman as a dog? What is the spiritual meaning of the children's bread which is served at the table, bread that cannot be eaten by those portrayed as dogs? And the laws which were instituted by God in the beginning inhibited those on the right hand, such as Jesus, from relieving the infirmities of those who sat down at the table on the left, people who Jesus portrayed as being in a type of prison. See the prison. The modern believer who, having adopted the doctrines of men, are totally unaware of the fact that they dwell in a spiritual diaspora. See the lie. They imagine that when they hear the gospel, they say their Jesus prayer, and they are then saved without any other requirements. Yet, while there are many verses of scripture that refutes this man-made doctrine, we can easily see this refutation in the parable of the sower and the seed, where it states that when they embrace the word, it becomes unfruitful because they fail to perfect the word with their actions, that is, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Mark 4:19 KJV. Thus, when they are tested by the left hand in the manner portrayed in the book of Job, they succumb and fail the tests presented to them. Again, Peter explains, "But that this is so, has been said even by the law in the person of God. I will kill, and I will make alive. I will strike, and I will heal." In truth, he kills and makes alive. He kills through the left hand, that is, through the evil one, who has been so composed as to rejoice in afflicting the impious, and he saves and benefits through the right hand, that is, through the good one, who has been made to rejoice in the good deeds and salvation of the righteous. And in prayer, Peter states, "Deliver me, O Lord of all, from thy fearful judgment. Do not give the enemy power to swallow me up, and to become heir of my soul, as of that of him who is hanging on the left. For I see how the devil joyfully takes his soul, and his body disappears." But Christians today are as the men of Nineveh, of whom it is said, "And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left?" Jonah 4:11 NKJ. "For as it was said to Job, then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you." Job 40:14 NKJ. And in the Psalms, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me." P 1611:138-7 NKJ, which is the reason why Jesus said that those on the right will enter into life, while those on the left will inherit the tribulation of their deeds and ways. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Matt 25:41 NKJ. The fires are the purifying effect of the laws, which return to each person the fruit of their own actions. In the same way that in accord with the divine pattern as well as the duality and threefold reality of all of creation, there is the duality of the two ways. The same is true with respect to the scriptures. Paul made reference to the letter that killeth, to the Galatians when they were observing the rituals of the written word of the text. Why? Because the left hand is portrayed in the literal text and is especially seen in the Mosaic law of karmic retribution of an eye for an eye. That perpetually returns back to us the fruit of our own thoughts, desires, and actions, that is. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Gal 6, 7 NKJ. A most profound statement by the Church Father Origen is basically rejected by the people of the simple faith today, who are incapable of reason and engaging the mind in the process of true spiritual growth. What does Origen state? What man of sense will agree with the statement that the first, second, and third days in which the evening is named and the morning were without sun, moon, and stars, and the first day without a heaven? What man is found such an idiot as to suppose that God planted trees in paradise in Eden, like a husbandman, and planted therein the tree of life, perceptible to the eyes and senses, which gave life to the eater thereof, and another tree which gave to the eater thereof a knowledge of good and evil? I believe that every man must hold these things for images, under which the hidden sense lies concealed. Origen. Hut. Prygeniana. 167 Frank. Page 142. Once these words are understood, they are in essence no different than what Paul stated, what Peter warned in the Clementine homilies, the great truths conveyed in the above quotations from the Zohar, and even Saint Augustine in the words, "He is a slave to a sign who uses or worships a significant thing without knowing what it signifies. But he who uses or venerates a useful sign divinely instituted, whose signifying force he understands, does not venerate what he sees and what passes away, but rather that to which all such things are to be referred. Such a man is spiritual and free, even during that time of servitude in which it is not yet opportune to reveal to carnal minds those signs under whose yoke they are to be tamed." De Doctrina Christiana. The fundamentalists who insist that the literal text of the Old Testament is the unerred word of God insist that the earth is only 6,000 years old. They reject the higher wisdom that teaches that the scriptures are an allegory that conveys inner spiritual truths of the mind and spirit in a series of forms and symbols. And they demand that Genesis be taught as historical truth. Yet, even a casual examination of the facts by a high school student proves them wrong. Then, the secular left uses this weak link to condemn the Bible as a whole, and thereby successfully undermines the teachings of Jesus and the way. Yet, what we have in Darwinism is grave error opposing gross ignorance of the manner in which the Old Testament and all scriptures are written thus. We have ignorance opposing ignorance. The double-edged sword of the law. Left hand of God. What Peter portrays above as the prince of the left hand, which brings judgment, death, and destruction, and the prince of the right hand, which sustains and brings life, is the laws of the earthly kingdom, which are reflective and on the left, and draw the consciousness of the person into the outer reflective world, which is an illusion that is an illusion. See the great allegory of mind and matter. On the other hand, the laws on the right sustains the seeker and attempts to draw the consciousness of the person into the inner kingdom, where man will encounter and uncover his source of being. What man ignorantly portrays as evil is merely the laws of correction of the left hand returning to each individual person, as well as groups, the fruit of their own ways. And this is necessary in order for the lost prodigal sons and daughters to overcome the laws, reverse them in the manner of a two-edged sword. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Rev 13:10 NKJ. Few people understand the reference to the sword because they fail to understand the laws of correction on the left hand and the reality portrayed in the words, "He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity." These organic laws of heaven and earth are explained on the website Divine Strategy under the subheading of the laws and as presented. Few people possess the understanding because they dwell in what Jesus portrayed as the prison, and all of man in his untransformed carnal state dwells in the outer darkness of mind and being under the control of a mindset that can very rightly be portrayed as a demiurge of their own making. These teachings, which portray the laws, are especially presented in the parable of the call, which parable portrays walking in the way from the reality of the need to bring about undefiled wholeness and purity in the requirement to come to the wedding feast and put on the necessary wedding garment. The first stage of purity must be understood as the conditions of birth, while the meaning of John 9:1-3 has remained disputed because of its reference to sin before birth. The unedited and uncorrupted version in the 53rd chapter of the Gospel of the Nazarenes, where it reads, "And at another time, as Yeshua passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Yeshua answered, To what importance is it whether this man or his parents sinned? The rewards of our actions return again to us, so that the works of the Lord are made manifest. I must work the works of the Lord while in this season. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. See rewards of our actions. What are the works of the Lord that are made manifest? The laws are imbued with the requirement to evolve and perfect every soul through the initial stages of the Alpha to the wholeness and completion of the Omega, and this is accomplished directly by the rewards of our actions, which are perpetually returned again to us. If our actions are an impingement to bringing about the next stages of birth, which enables each prodigal son to escape the shackles of the citizen of the far country or God/consciousness of the earthly kingdom and return to their source of being, then it is the laws of the left hand, which man ignorantly portrays as evil, which takes the necessary corrective reactions to our own actions. And thus, the above explanation provided by the Apostle Peter, but that this is so, has been said even by the law in the person of God. I will kill, and I will make alive. I will strike, and I will heal. In truth, he kills and makes alive. He kills through the left hand, that is, through the evil one, who has been so composed as to rejoice in afflicting the impious. And he saves and benefits through the right hand, that is, through the good one, who has been made to rejoice in the good deeds and salvation of the righteous. In the above, if a person is born blind because of the question presented by the disciples, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This question was asked by the disciples in reference to those who were portrayed as being imprisoned. See the prison. But in Jesus' answer in John, it is clarified that this man was not born blind because of being imprisoned, but rather because he shares the plight of all mankind with respect to the inherent conditions of the organic physical body and mind, which dwells in the outer darkness of mind and being. See outer darkness. Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. John 9:3-4 KJV. Having only attained the first stage of birth in the physical, all of mankind is born inherently blind to their own higher soul and spiritual reality, and what is portrayed as the mysteries of the kingdom of God. See mysteries. It is interesting to note that the Pharisees, who it is documented well understood that each person is born into this world in accord with their previous actions, see biblical foundational mindset, said to the man who had been healed, you were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us? John 9:34 in KJ. The fact that the majority of people who read the scriptures do not have this same biblically indigenous mindset and attempt to understand the scriptures from a totally different foundational mindset and thinking makes it near impossible for them to perceive and comprehend the true meaning of the scriptures, any scriptures, and the Bible. In the same way that the Apostle Peter in the above explained that Simon Magus was ordained by the Prince of the Left to bring tribulation to those who were in prison, see the prison, and test those who have only underwent the first stage of birth and dwell in the outer darkness, Peter explains about Simon. He is a power of the left hand of God, and has authority to do harm to those who know not God. This left-hand power and authority is portrayed as the citizen of the far country in the parable of the prodigal son. In the same way that, in the book of Job, what is portrayed as Satan is dispatched into the world to test Job, who perseveres against the laws, Satan, and overcomes by bringing about the next stage of birth. Because of its great importance to what is being presented, I will quote the subheading entitled Teachings on Soul Evolution from the Gospel of the Nazarene's webpage. On page 220 of Fragments of a Faith Forgotten by G.R.S. Mead, he quotes the Septuagint and writes, Job 2:9, "And I am a wanderer, changing place after place, and house after house." The passage is found in the version of the 70, but is omitted in the English translation. In the Gospel of the Nazarenes, this passage is contained. "So through many changes must you be made perfect, as it is written in the book of Job, I am a wanderer, changing place after place and house after house, until I come into the city and mansion which is eternal." And this is the portrayal of the journey of the soul that has been removed from the scriptures used by the common believers. When Yeshua said that you must be born again, this next stage of birth cannot be accomplished with mere words, but is the result of the necessary process of spiritual transformation that is brought about by walking in the way, overcoming the laws within oneself, and achieving the necessary completion at this level of being. Thus, the more complete interaction with Nicodemus is presented in the 37th chapter. Yeshua sat in the porch of the temple, and some came to learn his doctrine. And one said to him, "Master, what do you teach concerning life?" And he said to them, "Blessed are they who suffer many experiences, for they will be made perfect through suffering. They will be as the angels of God in heaven, and will die no more. Neither will they be born any more, for death and birth have no more dominion over them. They who have suffered and have overcome will be made pillars of the temple of my God, and they will go out no more. I say to you, except you be born again of water and of fire, you cannot see the kingdom of God." And a certain rabbi, Nicodemus, came to him by night for fear of the Jews, and said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" Yeshua answered, "Except a man be born again of flesh and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell from where it comes or to where it goes. The light shines from the east even to the west. Out of the darkness, the sun rises and sets into darkness again. So is it with man, from the ages to the ages. When it cometh from the darkness, it is that he has lived before, and when it goes down again into darkness, it is that he may rest for a little, and thereafter again exist. So through many changes must you be made perfect, as it is written in the book of Job, I am a wanderer, changing place after place and house after house, until I come into the city and mansion which is eternal." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Yeshua answered, "You are a teacher in Israel, and do not understand these things? Truly, we speak that which we know, and bear witness to that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I tell you of earthly things, and you do not believe, How will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one ascends into heaven, unless they descended out of heaven, even the Son or Daughter of Man which is in heaven. That this above saying is authentic is demonstrated in the fact that it is quoted by the Church Father Hippolytus in his Refutation of All Heresies, BK 8, 3, where he writes, "And that these things are so, says the Docetic. It is possible also to perceive from Job, when he uses the following words, "And I am a wanderer, changing both place after place, and house after house." The translator simply refused to properly translate the wording into English, because the teaching is in conflict with what both mainstream Judaism and Christianity believe. The fact that John 9:1 parallels both the meaning of Job in the untranslated Greek and that of the statement in the Wisdom of Solomon 8:20, which reads, "Yea, rather, being good, I came into a body undefiled," does not bother the church authorities, because it is impossible for them to even envision the true meaning of the scriptures because of their total counterfeit foundational mindset, a mindset that is in total conflict with the necessary biblical mindset. And the words quoted by Jesus are just as relevant today, where it is written, "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" Matt 15:7-9 in KJ. Returning again to the above statement by the Apostle Peter in the homilies of Clement, "For thus from the beginning was a law laid by God, the Creator of all things, on each of the two princes, him of the right hand and him of the left, that neither should have power over any one whom they might wish to benefit or to hurt, unless first he had sat down at the same table with them. As then, when you partook of meat offered to idols, you became servants to the prince of evil. In like manner, if you cease from these things and flee for refuge to God through the good prince of his right hand, honoring him without sacrifices, by doing whatsoever he wills, know of a truth that not only will your bodies be healed, but your souls also will become healthy. For he only, destroying with his left hand, can quicken with his right. He only can both smite and raise the fallen." The words, "unless first he had sat down at the same table with them," the consumption of food presents a multitude of meanings and realities pertaining to knowledge. Bread, when used in the scriptures, has nothing to do with the bread that man makes out of wheat and various grains. From a gospel perspective, neither does fish have anything to do with the creatures who populate the waters of the earth. These are important allegorical symbols. Spiritual knowledge, that is, gnosis, is often portrayed as the divine manna of the kingdom. In view of the fact that Jesus taught that there was only one true teacher that all should seek out, knowledge which is of the earth, and limited by man's doctrines of belief, represents various forms of idolatry. Food offered to idols can therefore be defined as the experiences of engaging in man's worldly cultures, man's educational institutions, which fails to convey to the student the proper mindset and lifestyle which brings about the next stage of soul birth. Included in this type of earthly knowledge is pseudo-religious doctrines which are at variance with the spiritual teachings of the way which prepare the disciple to learn directly from the indwelling Logos, see true prophet, and any pseudo-carnal knowledge that is embraced, which is consumed instead of divine manna, gnosis. The above words, "with respect to the laws which control the two princes," is equally important where it warns that neither should have power over any one whom they might wish to benefit or to hurt. When Jesus warned the man, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee," John 5:14 KJV. What he was stating was that if that person once again sits at the table of the left hand, that even a worse thing come unto thee. How? Because the prince/laws of the right hand would be barred from any further assistance to the person. Christians close their eyes to the warning in the Epistle to the Hebrews, where it states that if a believer sins deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Why? Because a believer who willfully sins after repentance and coming to the knowledge of the way is a counterfeit believer who is an apostate, who crucifies the Son of God afresh, holding him up to contempt. See the lie and the subheading on Legacy of Martin Luther. Christians ignore these very clear biblical warnings because their pseudo-biblical mindset inhibits them from understanding why Peter would state that if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. 2 Pet 2:20-22 NIV. See the flawed doctrine of perpetual redemption. Because the church removed the teachings on the eternal pre-existent soul, Christians can't even begin to comprehend how each person is born into this life in a preordained manner, and that each person is given according to his own ability. See Parable of the Talents. And why the fate of the complacent believer is far worse than the unbeliever. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Luke 12:47-48 NIV. And that more is required of every level of believer than the non-believer is further confirmed in the words, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." James 4:17. It is impossible to have two masters. Matt 6:24. And as Peter explained in the homilies of Clement, this reality is a matter of law that was ordained in the beginning of creation, that is, that when you became servants to the prince of evil, in like manner, if you cease from these things and flee for refuge to God through the good prince of his right hand, honoring him without sacrifices, by doing whatsoever he wills, and in understanding the laws. It is therefore impossible for those who have sat at the table of the left, that is, he is a power of the left hand of God, and has authority to do harm to those who know not God, to know anything of value or truth. Why can't those who dwell under the power of the left hand understand the inner spiritual meaning of the scriptures, or know anything of any real spiritual value, as presented in the above? Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder," and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, "Raca," is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. Matt 5:17-26 NIV. The debts against one's brothers and sisters remains as a connection in each person's etheric body-mind. So long as you remain negatively connected to these other people, you remain anchored and shackled to the consciousness of the earth, that those who are cast into the prison cannot be released until they have repaid the debts they owe, that is. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny, is a reality that spans eons of lifetimes remaining under the power and control of the left hand of correction. And this is declared in the original ending to the Gospel of Mark in the words, "This age of lawlessness and unbelieving lies under the sway of Satan, who will not allow what lies under the unclean spirits to understand the truth and power of God." See original Gospel message. When Jesus portrayed those who he taught in allegorical parables that concealed the true spiritual meaning as being blind who could not see, and deaf who would not hear or perceive, this condition which inhibited their understanding was brought about by the laws by virtue of the fact that their master was the prince of the left hand, that is, the power of correction that tests and prepares the prodigal sons and daughters to move onto a higher reality of being. And, as stated above, so long as the negative attachments are maintained in the etheric field/mind of the people, then they remain carnal in their thinking, and it is the drain of vital life force and the connections into the earth that attaches each person to the grade level they are at, by inhibiting them from developing and being able to access the higher areas of mind that are necessary to understand anything beyond the vibratory frequencies of this world of illusions. And herein lies the problem that few carnal critics ever consider, that is, organic man rejects the higher reality of his own soul self and the mysteries of the kingdom as utter foolishness. See mystery. Because his mind has not yet developed to the point where he is able to understand his own higher soul reality. And these connections to others that are maintained in the etheric fields are representative of those areas of mind that must still be developed. Which means that the present events in our life has not only been orchestrated by the actions in our own past, but are again presented to us by the laws as a test to judge whether we have overcome the void in our development, and whether we are prepared to move onward to a higher level. Thus, when understood from this perspective, every day of our lives is truly Judgment Day, and the power that returns to each person the fruit of their own past actions, that is, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Gal 6:7 NKJ is the laws of the left hand of correction, the science of mind. It will be impossible to begin at this link without being familiar with the patterns of mind that are outlined in what precedes in the above, in order to understand this subheading. To re-examine the question posed above with respect to the proverbial Simon Magus, which, rather than a person, is representative of the shadow pseudo-authorities of this world, that is, he is a power of the left hand of God, and has authority to do harm to those who know not God, to know anything of value or truth. Why can't those who dwell under the power of the left hand understand the inner spiritual meaning of the scriptures? Or know anything of any real spiritual value, because the person's mind has not developed to the point where they can possess a higher degree of understanding. The left hand is not yet finished with the task and objective of completing this necessary stage of development that would enable the person to comprehend man's own higher soul reality. The left hand of God is corrective, embodying the laws which return to each person the fruit of their own previous actions, and testing us to evaluate our accomplishments. The problem is seen in the fact that the lower foundational areas of mind must be built and properly formed and laid, in order to build or develop the higher areas of mind that are dependent upon what is foundational. If you are building a skyscraper that is going to tower above a city, Then you must provide a foundation that is sufficient to support the superstructure you intend on building. And herein lies an esoteric truth, which the Church Father Origen portrayed as the minor mysteries, that must be understood before one can move on to a higher perception and understanding, and ultimately begin to receive what is called divine manna or knowledge from the source of all gnosis, the indwelling Logos / Son of God, in the mind that has been developed through the process of expansion and elevated consciousness and awareness. The person is able to draw from within themselves levels of truth that are built upon a mental foundation that has achieved a degree of wholeness. And in this we see the folly of all human thinking in their inability to comprehend the all-encompassing reality of wholeness. In contradistinction to the enlightened Gnostic, the person of organic consciousness has not yet built and formed this foundation within himself, totally lacks what the Gospels portray as wholeness, and therefore must be supported by connections in the etheric to other equally fragmented people, in order to even begin to process the information or phenomena observed in the outer world. In the diagram of the Tree of Life at the right, each one of the 12 spheres of mind sees and perceives the same outward phenomena, which is an allegorical mental image that is the basis of the illusions of Plato's cave from an often different and sometimes opposite paradoxical perspective, as explained in the foregoing. In the same way that an embryo, which is a single cell, contains within itself the DNA that will expand into 12 organs and 7 glands with all their connecting systems that forms the body, the same is true of mind. And if we ask why? In the same way that an amoeba is one, and it is whole from its very limited reality, the body of a human supports a very high complexity of thought, because of the great depth and breadth of the dimensions that make up a concept associated with human thinking that is totally lacking in a lesser organic life form. And add it here.